Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 143 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or for iTunes. That way, your feed will be automatically updated when we release episodes, but you can also listen to us on many other fine podcast streaming services such as Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, all those other lovely things. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. We hope you've been enjoying our Come From Away series, Welcome to the Rock. Please, if you haven't heard it, go back and make sure that you do, because it is a great series. We're super proud of it. But today is another episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, as per regular. There's a new theater in town, and that theater is called the Boulevard Theater, right there in the middle of Soho. It has a fantastic history as a sister club to Raymond's Review Bar. Fantastic little neon sign there, right in the middle of Soho. And with its revamp, it's given London one of the most technologically versatile theaters on offer. Cormac McCarthy has a play on. I mean, how many times did you get to say that? He's a bit, he's a lot more known for his books and the films adapted from them, including ones like The Road and No Country for Old Men. And even The Sunset Limited was made into a TV film for HBO, starring Tommy Lee Jones and Samuel L. Jackson. Now McCarthy is receiving his premiere on these shores with The Sunset Limited in the Boulevard Theater's dramatic debut. Jasper Britton and Gary Beadle, two phenomenal actors with credit lists as long as your arm and who've appeared on stages up and down the country, as well as on our screens, too. Well, Gary and Jasper are starring in this two-hander, and they took time out of their rehearsal schedule to chat with me about the play, and about relying on each other in a two-hander, and also the excitement of playing in London's newest space. Have a listen. But just like to start off with what, for those people who don't know what The Sunset Limited is about, just give me a brief kind of synopsis.
All right, you want me to?
You go ahead.
Okay, so, all right, so it's a conversation between two very different people from very different backgrounds. And it kind of goes across the meaning of life and God and everything, really, everything in between. It's quite hard to summarize in a sense, because it's a little bit, there's a sort of Chekhovian aspect to it for me, because nothing really happens for an hour and a half. It's just a conversation. It's a little bit trying to summarize the story of three sisters. It's very difficult to do that. So that's kind of it, really. It's a sort of Cormac McCarthy stream of consciousness between two men.
Well, he kind of, it's, you know, if you, even though The Road, you know, both the book and the film, like the book is phenomenal. It's one of my favorites. And the film is, you know, not a lot happens, just people trying to stay alive. But it does make you go, oh, my Lord, the tension is, it's so taut. You know, and I think, but if you look at other screenplays, as you know, the No Country for Old Men or even The Counselor, like it's, there's always like this deep-seated tension. You kind of go, what is going to happen? Even, like you say, if it doesn't.
Yeah, he's got a pretty dark mind.
Were you guys fans of his writing before you came to this, or what? You know, how au fait were you with Cormac's work?
Myself, I wasn't too familiar with it, but I'm kind of out of touch with lots of things, so don't judge me for it. But I'm aware of his work and the sort of like the little research I done. On realizing I was going to be involved in this project, I found out that actually, yeah, I'm a fan of his work, but it's very testing. Do you know what I mean? Even for the mind, it does provoke thought and debate if you're in the right company. But it's so dark his mind, you know, and I find that quite fascinating. That within that, in this particular piece, there are really humorous moments that, you know, moments of relief. Of humor, of just sort of the joke of reality itself, and I think that's sort of brilliantly portrayed in his writings on this particular piece. As we say, it's a deep conversation between two people, you know, religion to a point that versus education and philosophy and culturally aware. I found that debate and the arena that this piece is set in really challenging. So for that, I'm a big fan of his work. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Do you have to be a fan of his or have come across Cormac McCarthy, you know, in order to kind of get like any kind of pre-seated knowledge of his work before you come and see your current show?
Oh, no, not at all. It's a completely standalone thing. I think it's the first play he ever wrote, I think.
Yeah, I think it may well be. A specific play, yeah.
Yeah, and he describes it as a novel in dramatic form.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think you have to be a fan of his work. I think it's, I think McCarthy, from what I can tell, it does what it says on the tin, and then there's a lovely little surprise at the end of it all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's explanatory once you're sat down and this is performed in front of you. I don't think you have to be a fan of his work at all. Like myself, you don't have to know too much. But it's certainly a baptism of his work. Absolutely. I think anyone who watches this will be thrown in the deep end in terms of emotional journeys.
Oh, brilliant.
And, in McCarthy's way. Do you know what I mean? But also laced with lots of humor. I mean, not stress, there's some real funny moments in this piece, and that's what adds to the darkness. And it's humor from a dark place, which isn't quite modern, I think.
Fantastic. I mean, it's why would you want to go to the theater and come out going, meh, well, whatever. It's not why we go.
Do that after this play.
So the Sunset Limited was, I mean, like you say, it was a play, but then they made it into HBO movie, I think. It was Tommy Lee Jones, Samuel L. Jackson. And, you know, those are kind of big boots to fill. But is there any kind of pressure whatsoever, guys, to kind of go, oh, people may have known it because of that?
Yeah. In terms of the HBO production, myself, I know I'm aware that there's a production, and I'm aware that by Tommy Lee Jones, as well as starring Tommy Lee Jones alongside Samuel L. Jackson. And I sort of think clips of it, but I deliberately tried to stay away from it. I mean, the piece itself, as we say, was written for theatre. And so, it was filmed in a dramatic sense. But in terms of preparation for this, I can only speak for myself. I'm pretty sure Jasper's the same, that we just kind of take our own interpretation of it and work with our great director, Terry Johnson, and work on building characters in a rehearsal room over a period of weeks that are comfortable and believable. And that's the whole point of theatre, I think. You know, there's no instant kind of manifestation of character in this. I think you'll find that you'll see three-dimensional characters with a lot of weight behind it. Everything we say has got a thought behind it. And that's theatre for you. So myself, I'm aware of the HBO production, but I shall look forward to watching it
afterwards. Yes, nice. And you just mentioned Terry Johnson. Listen, the three of you, the two actors and the director you guys have an immense catalog of theater experience and knowledge. And how comforting is that, or scary, like going into, because you only have each other. There's, you know, there's two of you on stage, and then you've got the director to fall back on during rehearsals. But, you know, what is that process like for you to, like, with this knowledge coming in, knowing that you've only got each other, but also you have that wealth of knowledge that you can draw on and, you know, and play with?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think I've ever done a two-hander before, but this piece, the demands of this piece are unlike anything I've ever been in before. And it is incredibly challenging, and it's very difficult, and it's not getting any easier, to be honest. a little bit unsettling. So, in a sense, you know, whatever we've done in the past, it doesn't really make any difference. We might as well just turned up and done this as our first play. It's an experience that I'm hoping I won't repeat in the future, to be honest. I think when you've done one Cormac McCarthy play, you've done them all. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm not enjoying it, but it's nothing can prepare you for it. I think that's really what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's on the head. It's trying, it's testing, and we're just crazy little acting artist addicts. Can I use that term?
Yeah,
we
sure.
We just can't get enough of being challenged and being put in a place where one has to find a way of being comfortable when time's against you and people are demanding a performance out of you. It's why we do what we do.
Sure.
It's perverse, I admit. But having said that, the flip side is, you know, working alongside Jasper, man, I mean, is just
a nightmare.
From my point of view, absolutely not. It's like I couldn't think of a better person to do a two-hander with. I've done a one-man show before, but it's completely different to a two-hander. And basically, I've realized as I've got to sort of like to the point where we're at that, oh my God, right, not only do you got to learn your lines, you've got to learn your colleagues' lines as well, because it's all one thing and it's a different type of preparation. You can prepare all you can, but you have to kind of leave a space for the person you're working with, because there'll always be a piece of you missing until you accept the way they do things as well. So in that sense, the discipline that's required, even with the experience one may think they have, which is the beautiful thing about the spins, you're always learning. You're learning from other people. You're always picking things up. So, yeah, absolutely. It is a real journey. But to watch, I think that's the real payoff. When you get to watch it, you'll see three-dimensional characters fully, you know, fully in motion right before your very eyes.
Awesome. Well, listen, I'm watching it on Thursday. I often don't do, chats before I go and see a play. So I'm kind of almost getting my little notes before I go and watch. So I can't wait to see it on Thursday. Definitely. This is one of London's newest theater. Could you just tell me a bit about what it's like having gone into this place? And I still haven't yet to set foot in this new theater. What's it been like so far? And as actors as well as like getting reaction from the audience, what's it been like?
Well, I went to see things at the original Boulevard. And when Terry said to me, we're doing it at the Boulevard, I thought, right, okay, weird. And then he said, oh, no, they changed it. And I said, oh, right, okay. And then I came along to meet everybody and look at it. And I was absolutely blown away. It's extraordinary. It's the most extraordinary venue in terms of what it can do. Technically, the space can change and revolve and go up and down and do all sorts of mad things. It has this wonderful restaurant attached. The staff are glorious. Bar. Everybody who works here is wonderful. Rachel Edwards, who runs it, is an absolute peach of a human being. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's very intimate. You don't have to project and wave your arms about. I think it's unique, really.
Yeah. I totally agree. I totally stand by everything Jasper's saying. My experience of the place is I never actually had seen a show here, but I know enough about the history of the place and Soho itself. And of course, I had an opinion when it was all being built. I thought, oh, this is all gentrification. Nobody knows anything about the old Soho. But then when I found out it was still within the family and they were building a theatre, I was just like totally mesmerised. And to be asked to perform here is great because, you know, it's, I mean, I don't say much, but for me, I hold it quite close that we're the first dramatic piece to be, to perform in this new space. And I like to think, you know, we'll be first in line when everyone reflects about the first show. So it's absolute honour. And of course, yeah, it is a great setup here. Everybody's behind it, the staff, everybody. And we've got a great piece to perform. We've got a great show to debut with all. Great cast, great director, and just looking forward, really, to just getting bums on seats. But, yeah, rich history meets sort of new beginnings. It's a good sign of there are people out there in this modern day who are rich but have a serious artistic streak and a commitment to educate people and liberate people in an artistic way rather than just it being about money. So proud to be part of that.
Love it. Love it. Okay, last question, guys, if you don't mind. First of all, I really appreciate you taking some time out in your lunch break. I'd love to just ask you both what you would love people to get out of coming to see the Sunset Limited and, you know, why they should, but what you would like them to leave with.
That's a difficult question.
For the kids, Jasper. For the children, Jasper. Jasper's like,
it's not that I don't have any desires that people take anything away. They're going to take away what they take away.
Yeah.
And all I can do is play my character and they make up their own minds. It's not like I'm trying to make anyone think anything or feel anything or do anything, really. I'm not sure the play is quite like that. And it's Terry described it to me as when he first phoned me up about it, he said, it's a non-redemption play.
Okay.
That's as far as I can go. What about you?
No, it's funny. I totally get what you're saying. I guess, what do I want people to take away? I guess the only way I could liken that to is to anything that I ever do. What would I want somebody to take away from what anything that I happen to be privileged to do? And I guess, to provoke thought and debate and to just come away with some form of perception. Do you know what I mean? A new form of perception. I like to think that they learn that the arts is powerful enough that people come away with an opinion without being bashed over the head like politics or a politician. I think the arts have a way of influencing the way people think in the positive sense, can be negative, but let's say positive, without sort of like bashing them over there with a big stick, you know? And that's kind of what I like. I run kind of brainwash you in a really kind of nice environment, but for the better. What do I want people to take away? I want them to take away something that they hadn't necessarily thought about or discussed. That's it, really.
Perfect. Guys, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to seeing it on Thursday.
That's great.
Fabulous.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Look forward to catching you on Thursday. Yeah. Take care.
Gary Beadle and Jasper Britton there, currently on stage at the Boulevard Theatre in Soho and Cormac McCarthy's The Sunset Limited. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping bits. If you are a theatre professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com, sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, away you go. Follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call, all one word. And you can follow me at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-E-H-W-A-B. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Gary and Jasper. That's Gary Beadle and Jasper Britton. You can see them at the Boulevard Theatre right in Soho, and it couldn't be easier to get to until the 29th of February, so plenty of time to go and catch it. It's a phenomenal show. I saw it last night, guys. Go and see it. Thanks for listening to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. Remember to catch our series, Welcome to the Rock, which is on this feed. I will catch you all next week. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.